Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wagon Wheel Podcast presented to you by Bill's Wear at USA Today SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host, and I'm alongside my man, David. And first and foremost, Dave, 13-3. What's the mood? What's the mood today?
I'm in a big, reminiscent Marv Levy mood, I think. We tied our all-time high for wins. The last time we had 13 wins was under Marv Levy, and just nothing but encouragement going into the playoffs here. I couldn't have asked for a better end of the season, I think, than a 56-point game. It's just incredible.
Yeah, they surprised some people today. And the thing is, like, if you weren't watching this game, you would think that Josh Allen and company were just in from start to finish, which isn't true. Isn't true by a long shot. No, this total team beat the Miami Dolphins 56-26 today. Very, like, incredibly one-sided. Matt Barkley might be the better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa. I'm just saying. Not really, but I just the idea is out there. The fact that the Bills won with so much depth on their team is another testament to this general manager regime and head coach Sean McDermott. But they're playing a Miami team that had to win to get in, and there was no urgency from Miami. There was no calculated plan of attack. It was just Bills. Miami couldn't get anything going. They only led once with a field goal at the top of the game. You know, it's Miami's going to be okay in the long run. There's no doubt about that. But Buffalo is most certainly, you know, they show that they can dominate in all three phases and all two, three levels of depth as well. I think that's a big statement victory for Buffalo, especially sweeping the entire division too.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, this highest point total of the year, that 56-26 win, it's the second highest score in team history. Only 58 against also Miami in 1966 was higher.
Has it been that long?
I mean, yeah, it's incredible. It's just it's a great note to end on, is, you know, finishing the season 13-3, which was better than I predicted 12-4, locking in the number two seed. Just a really great way to end the year. And I mean, there were 35 different wildcard scenarios that could have played out in the NFL this weekend. Incredible. So for it to shake out the way it did is incredible.
Yeah, no, it most certainly did. Everything kind of fell into place. The Bills are in a really good spot, locked into the number two seed, which is right where they want to be, especially. I mean, of course, you always want that extra game. But I think, you know, with the announcement that the Bills are going to be allowing the government, the state is going to be allowing fans into the Bills Stadium, that number two spot became that much more important to hold on to. At least get some fans in for some home games, and you know, they did. They went in and did their job. I didn't know how they were going to approach this game, and that was a big question that a lot of people had. You know, are they going to play Josh Allen a quarter, let him get his record and sit him? No, that wasn't even close to what they did. It was pretty ballsy. I will give McDermott credit with some of the injuries that the team has faced over the last couple weeks. Injury news, like Cole Beasley, we're still uncertain about whether he's going to be available next week or not. It's a week-to-week thing. We don't know. But I was certainly surprised that he kept his starters out there as long as he did. And even played him at all, to be perfectly honest with you. So kudos to him. Luckily, nothing bad, no injuries and stuff to report. So Buffalo looking really, really good as they head into their wild card matchup next Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I definitely am with you on that. It was good to see some of the guys that had been injured back out there. Still kind of waiting to hear, you know, how things are gonna look for the playoffs for some guys early on. And you know, we're now in a matchup with your favorite team, Matt, the Indianapolis Colts. The game is going to be next Saturday, January 9th at 1:05 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Yep. It'll be Philip Rivers' first visit back to Orchard Park since his 2018 trip with the Chargers for Josh Allen's first career start, a game that, if I'm not mistaken, Matt, I believe both you and I were at.
That is correct.
Yep.
Very and, different teams, it'll too. Be... Very, very different Bills teams. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So might be a bitter, could be some bittersweet irony by the end of it's all said and done.
Yep. First season also, the second seed doesn't get a bye. And we end up with the second seed, but we bring playoff football back to Buffalo. So,
yeah. Hey, it's, you know what? It's this year has been tough. We all know that how tough this year has been. And, I mean, I'm sure that people would love to be filling that place out. Filling out, just Bills Stadium. Would love to fill that place out and be loud and support this team. Unfortunately, that is not the case to be. I did want to comment. I'm really surprised that the Bills do get to have fans in that stadium. Is it a political stunt? Maybe. But regardless, the fact that 6,700 diehard fans will get the opportunity, it's going to be cool. It's going to be a really great game. I'm sure they're going to be loud as ever. 6,700 Bills fans, it can be as loud as a full stadium somewhere else. That's certainly for sure. So that could add a bit of a competitive edge as they head in to play Indianapolis this weekend.
That's right. The first playoff game in Orchard Park since 1996. Reduced attendance. Tickets sold out very quickly. And fortunately, we'll have some of Bill's Mafia present. They were able to work something out in terms of safety. You know, they really, I guess, evaluated the region and determined that there was a reduced attendance number that they felt comfortable with safety and social distancing and, obviously masks and the regular precautions that they could, safely admit into the stadium with testing at the door, I believe. And so we'll get a chance to see some fans in the stands. This was a big game because it really capped off a big season for the team. They set franchise records for points and touchdowns. Their 6-game win streak to end the regular season was also the best finish in team history. And so, like you said, Allen played only a half a game and look what he was able to do in a half a game. I mean, going 18 for 25, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns. He broke the franchise record for passing yards in a season previously owned by Drew Bledsoe. We'd been keeping an eye on that in recent weeks. He also became the first quarterback in NFL history with at least 4,500 passing yards, 35 touchdown passes, and 5 rushing touchdowns in a single season. Stephon Diggs, wow, finished leading the league with 127 catches and also in receiving yards with 1,535, became the first player in Bills history to do so. And so, I mean, just what a great finish to a great season. We had our ups and downs. We had rocky moments that we discussed right here on the wagon wheel.
We sure did. Or whatever the other two names of the shows that we had, this thing had entire season. A lot of changes. We grew with the Bills, I guess. That's a perfect point because, I don't know, like week 17, I've seen Buffalo play in so many meaningless week 17 games. Excuse me, whether there's no playoff implications at all. Last year, the Bills were already in and there wasn't a whole lot of competitive nature to it. The Bills were playing for something. The Miami Dolphins were playing for something. And to just cap off a season as extraordinary as this, right? You mentioned all the records that were broken just on this week alone. There have been so many that have been broken throughout this entire season. To go out there and legitimately just manhandle a division rival, right? Division rivalry games are always so tricky. Sometimes they're a little bit closer than people would like, but that's usually what happens when you play a team, twice a year. They figure out your tendencies, and there was almost an interesting case of them playing each other 3 times. There's a legit shot of Miami possibly, if the Colts had lost today to Jacksonville, Miami and Buffalo will be playing in Buffalo again this upcoming week. So, but there's always dangers to playing a team more than once. And, aside from the second Jets game, Buffalo's handled the Patriots and Dolphins very, very well in their rematches. And everyone's expecting, close game, interesting game. And it certainly was. And it was a nice final stamp on this 2020 season. I mean, yeah, you sweep the division. When's the last time Buffalo has done that? You know, that's a huge deal in itself. Not only AFC East champions, but not a single AFC East team got a W over you. That's big.
Absolutely. I was curious to see what we would do on offense today. You know, it was kind of a special day for Brian Daboll. Here we're squaring off against his former pupil in Tua, who is, you know, he was his offensive coordinator at Alabama.
Yeah.
And now he's ours, thankfully. And I really love what we did with our receivers today. I mean, Stephon Diggs, 76 yards on 7-for-8 receiving. John Brown, it was great to see him back on the field. Going for 72, 4-for-4 on his catches. And Gabe Davis, our rookie, had a big game for good measure too. 107 yards on 2 catches. I mean, unbelievable. That was great. And then, of course, another one of the real stories of this game, though, was Isaiah McKenzie. What a day. 2 receiving touchdowns plus an 84-yard punt return for a touchdown.
He did. He actually, that performance gate, he was my player of the game. I don't know if Nick posted it yet or not, but he was my player of the game, undoubtedly so. I mean, he just played so well. I mean, without Cole Beasley, you know, there's lots of questions. Who's going to step in? Who's going to be the guy? And then Isaiah McKenzie, who's, you know, somebody you don't hear of too often doing big things like this. 2 receiving touchdowns and a special teams, like punt return, like that's crazy. I was happy for him. But that's been the story this back half of the year, right? It's you know, we know what we can expect from the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley's, Trey White to the world, but it's been the lower tier guys. It's been the guys that are like, you know, they're always like, I'm not gonna say they're fringe on the roster, but they're like, they're not quite the upper echelon of the team, right? They're not like if the guys who, if McDermott decided to sit starters this week, they would still be playing, those kind of guys. And they've made plays over the last couple of weeks. Teron Johnson, Levi Wallace and Isaiah McKenzie, you know, standing out amongst, you know, a great team and with great players. And that's how you win games. That's how you win games in January. You know, I've said it a couple times, your team's only as strong as its weaker links. And these guys who are just, we're not getting the looks, they're not getting the big touchdowns, the big stat lines all throughout the season, but they're producing in big moments when given opportunities. And that's what you want. That's what you want your team to have. That's the kind of spirit you want your team to have. So it's just all signs pointing great. Buffalo's playing like the best team in the NFL right now, continually to this right up until the end. So that's astounding.
Absolutely. I love what you said about some of our role players, younger guys, the impact that they've made. I mean, you look at somebody like Tyler Bass, ended up with a Bills single season record here for points with 141 when all was said and done. On defense, you know, Edmonds, who you expect performance out of, had a sack, but Dean Marlowe ended up with 2 picks on the day.
Yeah.
And Josh Norman, who is here on a 1-year deal. I mean, we don't know if he'll be back next season, but he had a pick 6. I mean, it's people who step up at times, and we've seen this multiple games, right? Where we do record the podcast afterwards and we talk about, you know, the guy who had a day, right? Like a Jerry Hughes or, you know, Dane Jackson, or these guys that, you know, they just have a day. And it's just great to see some of the different players that can step up and do that on a week-to-week basis for the Bills.
For sure. I mean, especially too, with the lack of preseason that the NFL had, you know, these guys, you would have heard about them. You would have gotten to see them play. You would have gotten to understand and know what they are capable of a little bit more. So for them to be able to do that, you know, in big moments, in big occasions, you know, like today and like throughout the entire season, that's, you know, it's always good. It's always good. And it gives some optimism too, because right, preseason games, you're not getting the best. You're not necessarily facing the best. It's like second stringer versus second stringers, third stringer versus third stringers. But some of these guys are doing this against first string talent, against the best at the NFL. And these respective franchises that the Bills are playing have had an offer. So I think that's, you know, it's a good sign going forward. That means there's good depth as far as what this team has to offer. And that's always a good thing to go into the offseason with. Of course, there's always offseason needs. There's always things that need to be addressed. But yeah, these depthy guys are showing up and showing out. And that's a good sign going forward to keep a more consistent team.
Yeah, seeing a couple of games where we were able to put Matt Barkley in the fourth quarter and then in the second half of a game going into the end of the year, full disclosure, felt pretty good too. You know, when you're in a great position like that, that you feel comfortable putting your backup in to play out the rest of the game, keep your starters rested and, you know, look ahead to start to get ready for your playoff games, see what you got in some other players was fun too. You know, we're facing the Colts here, and should Buffalo advance to the second round, they'll face the second lowest seed to win games between matchups of Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and then also Baltimore and Tennessee, with Kansas City, who has the first round bye, playing lowest seed to win in the first round. Depending on how things turn out, we could see some rematches there in the second round with the Steelers or Titans, our possibilities. And then, Matt, you know the Colts well. You're a resident Colts expert. Something in like many that. Ways. Yeah. I mean, what from, you know, your vantage point, just knowing that team as well as you do, what are some keys for the Bills in facing them next week?
You know, I'm honestly, I'll be perfectly honest. I'm worried. I'm definitely worried as a Colts fan. You know, I'm excited that they got to get in. It's like 11-5. It's pretty cool, but they're the seventh seed in the first year of an expanded playoffs. And it doesn't feel so great. What the Bills have to do, they have to, I mean, I think stopping the run is going to be the best thing, that the Bills can possibly do in this game. Frank Reich, I love him to death as a head coach. I'm not the biggest fan of his play calling ability. I think his play calling drops off hugely in the second half. If you watch, any Colts games throughout this entire season, they'll start off hot. And if the Bills can weather the storm, they're pretty much good to go. This team is not a second half team. Unfortunately, but they just, well, the Colts did just win over Jacksonville this week with a 250 plus yard performance from rookie running back Jonathan Taylor, who ended up finishing the season third in NFL rushing, which is pretty cool. But for some reason, Frank Reich and the coaching staff likes to go away from that. Likes to go away from the run game in the second half and throw more. And it's hard. It's definitely hard. You know, Colts have talent. They certainly have some talent. And, you know, I think when this team puts everything together that they're the Colts are a team that can beat everybody. It's just the putting everything together part hasn't necessarily been consistent all year long. So I know there's a lot of Bills fans out there. I've been getting heckled all day. So I'm like, I'm just exhausted about it. By Bills fans and stuff. I'm just like, I'm probably going to turn off my social media next week. To avoid it all. But, you know, I know some Bills fans who are not very fond of Philip Rivers and what he's, you know, his career, and I'm sure they wouldn't hate, you know, we talked about the irony, right? Philip Rivers comes in and defeats Josh Allen in Buffalo in his first start. And what if Josh Allen beats Philip Rivers in Philip Rivers' last start? You know, it's not out of the question. It's certainly not out of the question. The way this Bills team is playing, it scares me. It scares me. If I'm any other team, it certainly scares me. I can't find a weakness. Like, I'm trying to be optimistic for my team. I love the Colts, but I can't find a weakness. I can't. And it sucks. it certainly sucks, but I want to believe that, you know, I want to believe that it's going to be a good game. It's a Saturday 1 o'clock game. So I don't think the NFL is expecting too much of it. That's everyone's like, oh, they disrespected the Bills. No, they want a competitive game for those bigger time slots. So, but yeah, if they can stop the run, if they can force Rivers to pass more, then they got this game in the bag. I love Philip Rivers. He was my favorite non-Colt player before he became an Indianapolis Colt this upcoming season. But I know that he's not the same quarterback that he used to be 5-10 years ago. He can still sling. But if you have to depend on him to sling, there's a big issue there. And, you know, defensively, the Colts have played relatively well throughout the entire season. They played done good, but their biggest hindrance is that they tend to give up big plays. That's something that the Bills are good at making happen, is making big plays happen. So you know, big 20 plus yard plays is essentially what the Colts have been, you know, have cost them Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago now, and it's cost them some other games. So, you know, just being honest, not appeasing the Bills mafia by any means, but I think the Bills have this one. You never want to go into this postseason cocky or confident. Never, no matter how good your team is. We've seen really great teams knocked off and not make the Super Bowl. And we've seen less than stellar teams find ways and just will their way into AFC to conference championship games and to postseason wins. And, you know, a lot can change. Certainly a lot can change, but I'm fairly confident in the Bills winning this one, this Saturday.
Yeah, they do look the strongest they've looked since the Jim Kelly years. I mean, this is also one of the most high-octane offenses I think we've seen since the K-Gun.
Yeah.
And I think that in a league that's becoming more scoring-centric, you know, and more about outscoring opponents, holding opponents to lesser points, that's one thing that going into the playoffs that really makes the Bills scary. Is that they're now racking up these high scores in the last stretch of the season here. And looking ahead, I mean, could you imagine if we were to win next Saturday, if we were to advance and face, you know, a Steelers team that we just played, we got a really good look at and had some success against. But also, you know, the possibility of playing a team like Tennessee, who got the best of us this season in a game that we didn't seem prepared to play because it did look like that was going to get rescheduled, you know, with some of the Titans players breaking COVID protocol and whatnot and having through. Yeah. All the process there. I mean, I'm sure Allen and company would love to get another crack at them. And so it does make for a very interesting path. And then of course, many folks, fans, analysts alike, are clamoring for another rematch with Kansas City in the AFC championship. That's something they'd love to see. And I know I do feel that way as well. I think a lot of people may as well.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, if you think about it, if the NFL is, you know, the NFL is a business, right? Big money matchups is what they live for. That's the one right now. That's the one, right? It's dwindled down quite a bit since the Chiefs game, but all the talk over the last couple of years about Mahomes and Allen's arm strengths or accuracies, you know, and just how strong that they've been playing. Like, that's the money matchup. That's what people want to see. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. We don't always get to see the money matchups, but if the NFL had a hand in who wins and who loses, which sometimes it certainly seems that they do, the money matchup would be Kansas City and Buffalo. And, you know, one of those teams are, I'm not going to say they're trending down. Maybe they're just bored of their competition, but one of those teams hasn't seemed as electric over the last couple months, maybe a month and a half, but the other team has. And like, again, this is not me appeasing the Bills mafia. Not at all. I don't do that. It's not my thing, but facts are facts. You know, Josh Allen finished with a really strong year. This team is just really good. It's you can't even deny it now. Like, if you hate on this team, you're really, really going out of your way to knock this team. It has given no reason to be knocked, at least not yet. So, yeah, they're a good football team. And, you know, I'm looking forward to see how they perform, how they handle January football. They handled it pretty good today, but we all know that it's do or die going forward. And that's where the pressure is. That's where the questions come into play. You know, we know Josh Allen can play great regular season football, but when he gets to the postseason, what's it going to be like? And I think he's going to change even some more opinions this year as we climb into that postseason.
We all remember what happened in that first round matchup last year against the Texans. You know, Allen got a little rattled, tried to take the team on his back and make some plays happen that he just extended a little too far, and, you know, had some unfortunate outcomes there that Bills fans, it's probably still a bit fresh in our memory, but it'd be good to erase that. And Allen certainly hasn't forgotten. I mean, he immediately after that game was talking about how he's going to use it to motivate himself in the off season, come back and get back there and kind of flip the script. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. You know, they've had success this year, making adjustments, coming out looking like a different team at times, and then maintaining and sustaining that, those adjustments and that success then throughout the remainder of the season. It'll be interesting to see if they can come in and do that in the playoffs as well. And, you know, the Bills did what they had to do today. The Colts did what they had to do today. And now we're going to get to see them square off on Saturday in Orchard Park at Bills Stadium.
Yeah. Big homecoming game for Frank Reich, too. Big homecoming game for Frank Reich. Sure. We all know how much Frank Reich means to the Buffalo Bills, the organization, the fans. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. You know, last couple of years, last time they played, it was, again, very, very different teams. Colts had Andrew Luck and as the starting quarterback. They played in Indianapolis, I think might have been 2 years ago. And Josh Allen was out, and the Bills were led by Derek Anderson and Calvin Benjamin. Like, all right, it's very different now. It's very different now. And, you know, we just found out this past week who the Bills' upcoming season opponents are, and the Bills will be playing the AFC South, so they will be squaring up. They will be hosting Indianapolis next year as well. So probably a good Frank Reich return, but probably good for a Frank Reich return in that instance. But yeah, there's a lot of cool storylines that, you know, if people really wanted to explore, they could explore with this game, you know, going forward. But it's just an exciting time. It's an exciting time. I'm just glad that Bills fans get to, you know, go and appreciate a home game, a home playoff game, because we all know how wild and crazy those get. You know, all this weekend we've gotten the flashbacks of Frank Reich's comeback game and how there's like you know, there's literally a million people in Buffalo who were like, oh yeah, I was at that game, when they weren't. You know, that's one of those old legends. You know, I know people who have claimed that, and turned out they weren't actually there. But you know, we know how wild it gets. We're gonna have some the Bills fans are gonna have some spaced out fun. They have a lot to endure to get to that point, including COVID checkpoints and tests and all that stuff. But I think it'll all be worth it. You know, I think I'm happy for them in the long run in that instance, because it's honestly been unfair. Them, along with less than a handful of other teams, haven't had fans all season. Mm. Like, it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that this great season has to happen. And we get it. It's a pandemic. Things are out of control. But other teams are operating very, very well and safely and smartly with it. And it's really a shame that it took this long to get the Bills, you know, to get the Buffalo up to snuff in that regard. But politics, it's aggravating.
Matt, you and I both enjoy some good poetic justice and, you know, interesting poetic subplots sometimes. 27 years ago today was Frank Reich's comeback with the Buffalo Bills from the 32-point deficit to defeat the Houston Oilers 41-38 in overtime in a wild card playoff game. I don't know that it gets more poetic than that, right? I mean, we make it, the Colts make it, and we're playing one another, and Frank Reich is coaching them. We both clinched those spots. Well, maybe we clinched our playoff spot. We ended up defeating the team. They ended up winning their game to help, you know, slot them into that spot to the day, 27 years later.
Right.
Frank led the Bills to that comeback. So how, I mean, what a magical season. You know, I don't know how to put it any other way.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's going to be fun. I'm just excited for January football. I've said it all year long on both, you know, this podcast, my 2-point conversation podcast, that I'm just glad we're at this point. 256 games got played this year. There were some delays. There was no cancellations. There was no week 18 of regular season action. The NFL did it. And while, you know, COVID is something to be taken seriously, their protocols allowed, you know, these players to, you know, these, first of all, these players to make money, and play the game they love. And for us fans, that's who we are. We may be analysts. We may host a podcast about it. We're still fans at heart, and we got to appreciate it. And that's the most important thing, you know, for me in hindsight of 2020. And you know, it's a new year, but everything worked out. Everyone, you know, I hope everyone who was hoping that the NFL season would get canceled midway through, gotcha. We gotcha. Serves you right. But yeah. Yeah, I'm a happy camper right now.
Yep, and you've said it on more than one occasion, Matt. You've always pointed out at times throughout this season about, hey, we could not be having these games right now.
Yeah,
this could have all gone differently. You know, we're really fortunate to have had an NFL season and to have made it all the way here. We're now getting ready to start the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, still, like Bills fans, I don't know how fortunate they are that you know, they're allowed to go to the stadium, you know,
right.
Like I said, it should never came to that, but it's kind of the world we live in today. So I'm just, you know, take the little things and you got to really appreciate them. And I've certainly learned that in 2020. So, but that's pretty much a wrap on this one. We didn't need to talk too much in layman's terms, the Bills. I'm trying to think of a fun term that they we can use. Mollywopped?
Well, yeah, what do we say?
They mollywopped.
They squished the fish. I mean, they sunk the Dolphins. I mean, what do we even say?
We could roll with that one. They did. They did. And it was a nice welcoming to, I think, Tua and – you know, to the AFC East, the real AFC East, which he has not played yet. What I mean by that is that was his first game against Buffalo, and it left a lot to be desired. So who knows? Miami could be willing to, I mean, that's all discussion talk for the offseason, but Miami could take a quarterback again if they wanted to. We'll see. See how that goes.
They have a lot of draft picks coming up this time around as well, just like last year. So.
They do. They do. But that is a wrap, everybody, on this episode. Really quickly, we just wanted to touch base with you and talk about this game and give you a little bit of a preview for the upcoming wildcard round, which is very excited. If you are going to the Bills game, please be careful. Don't ruin it for other people. Let's hope this thing can keep growing and be bigger. Just have fun. You can have fun and be safe. Just don't ruin it. No matter what your thoughts are on how this whole situation, this whole season has been, you know, transpired from allowing fans into the Bills Stadium and not, don't ruin it for everybody else. Have fun, be loud, be proud, you know, roar. I know I'm a Colts fan. Be proud of your team. All right. Be proud of your team and do what you got to do and be the 12th man out there. 12th man, 12th person, politically correctness. I got a 12th person, no 12th man, 12th person. So that is that episode, everybody. We'll have a new episode out for you next Sunday morning. And we'll recap and hopefully we're talking about the Bills. Hopefully we're talking about the Bills advancing. Hopefully. Me, not so much, but hopefully for our longevity doing this podcast, it's talking about the Bills advancing on to the divisional round, and we'll have a better idea. We might have a better idea of who they're playing after that. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. On behalf of David and I, till next time, go Bills.
Let's go, Buffalo.